Welcome to the Podness with Face, Pat, and Tiff.
Go ahead, just say. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Podness, show with three friends separated by distance, connected by brotherhood, having weekly conversations that you can join in on. As always, I'm one third of the Podness, your boy Tiff, and I'm along with.
Other third of Podness. Look, y'all, I just got off work. I ain't foolish today. It's the Padawan here, the third.
What's that? Hey, it's Fakes.
Hey.
It's Blaze. What's going on?
Hey. Oh, man, I was not. So, yeah, man, we back. We're a little late this week. Y'all got mental health difficulty. We had some technical. But we here. We got y'all. And the Podness won't go let y'all down. Be right back at you with Station That Ass, episode 46, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
with six more episodes to the year, episode that big 52. Y'all already know. Yeah, we gonna have to think of some cool. But we here. I want to start this week off with a quick mental health check-in. Just how is everybody doing? How's everybody feeling? I guess definitely got some things that I feel like I want to share. But I'll start with y'all, man. Feeling it.
Today I'm cool. Week's been a up and down week, but I'm not too pressed on it. Still trying to be optimistic. And I feel that's the best thing for me to do personally, is be optimistic when faced with any trials and tribulations. Because if face is a pessimist, if I become pessimistic, that's really not a good way for me to be on mentally. So try to stay optimistic when I face any trials and tribulations. So right now I'm stepping over my trial, about to hop over my tribulation. So I'm thinking it's working. So I'd say this week is going to work out good. We're almost at the end of the week, so only time will tell, but I feel that everything will work out for us. But
right on. Is it anything we support you this weekend?
Just keep being yourself. Keep being yourself and being open if I need to vent.
You are. How you doing, man?
And I'm pissed off, man. I ain't gonna lie. Shit pissed me off today. And it won't just work. It's outside of work. It's some serious shit. And
we got a ride on some shit?
No. It's not no ride on some shit, but it pissed me off. Or whatever. It's just kind of some, I don't even want to bring it up, but
some offline shit.
Yeah, offline shit.
We'll speak whatever, offline. But, we'll have
I ain't even really, I ain't gonna phase it. I'm just glad we here, and it's a lot of shit we could talk about today. So yeah, this shit cheered me up.
Right on. How can we support you this week or going until we be there for?
May y'all always hit there for me, man. Well, we doing a podcast tonight. This is my help. For real, this is some shit. I'm gonna get over it. Or whatever, because really it don't even involve me. So yeah.
Oh man, that's the worst shit, when some bullshit going on that affects your life, but it ain't even involving you.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when other people bullshit come over into your talk. Like my shit, I got enough shit going on. I don't need yours.
Yeah.
But we'll talk all that. I just tell me we need to have a brother's talk at some point this weekend before the live talk.
I refuse to let another motherfucker shit affect my life at this point in age I am. I refuse. I feel like the common denominator in all situations. When I have a problem, in my problem, if I'm facing that problem, I see that I'm the problem. So once I voice how I feel about it, if ain't nothing around that gonna change, I tend to separate myself from that problem. Then I have no more problems, because I know if they stay with the problem, it's gonna be big problems. And I don't want no problems.
Cause you don't want no problem. So I guess I'll go ahead and share mine. It's been another eye-opening week. So y'all already know, last I shared that I had went to the psychiatrist. I basically had something broke, my brain broke. I ain't been right since. Have panic attacks and have been diagnosed with general disorder, major depressive disorder, and I'm on meds. Been prescribed to not only the meds, but to have grief counseling and general therapy once a week. So got the general therapist. I already had that lined up from just, before. But tonight, I went to the assessment grief, and it was another psychiatrist. So my psychiatrist is who went. The grief counseling was through this website I found. I shared it on the last Cerebral. Basically, you can get psychiatry, therapy, counseling, whatever it is that you need, mental health wise, you can get it from there. You pay a flat rate every month and you get either a weekly service or a monthly service, depending on what you'll need. But I'm getting the grief counselor through them. They basically, for me and that person, don't work out the first John didn't switch me. So, but anyway, I had to do the assessment tonight. So I go into this psychiatrist to get assessed for grief. And then I come out of there with a fucking third diagnosis. Now I've been diagnosed with panic disorder. And it explains a lot. But the shit that's fucking me up is nobody told me why, like, why I broke or why a week and a half ago I was a normal guy. And now, like, I don't know all this shit. So that's where I'm at on this journey. The med still ain't done much yet for 4 to 6 weeks. Everything is a journey now, everybody. Finally broke down and went ahead and took leave from work because I freaked out at work. Thought about putting hands on, and you know, you joke about it, but in my years of working, I thought about it. And my body still hurt from having many panic attacks all damn day, so my body feel like I'm still on that, but we here. I'm with my bros, which is always a space. We about to talk that shit. Only thing I need to support is just, you know, if I do need to pull up, then let's do that. But I think since Pat already kind of opened the door, I think that that's definitely what I want to pull up maybe tomorrow, Saturday at some point in the day or the evening. Friday evening or Saturday or during the day early. And, you know, just chop it up real quick and just kind of do the brother check-in offline. That's how y'all can best support. Other than that, man, y'all, as always, appreciate the fact that God made y'all my bro. But yeah, so that's where we at this with that. I think we're going to do this every week, just kind of check in, see where everybody at. Feel like sometimes, you know, definitely with the hustle and bustle of life, sometimes the podcast is the first time we be to talk to each other that week. Instead of jumping right into, like, topics and shit, like, yeah, let's do more checking in on each other first. Make sure we all right. And if we not all right, making sure we got a plan of action. So after the topic, we can be there for, you know what I mean? Yeah, champs. So now that we done got that out, talked about, you know, I think that's a perfect segue to kind of get into Face's segment. So Face, what we talking about this week?
Squid Game. And Alice in Borderland. Ain't nobody talking about Alice in Borderland yet. But they will soon be on that. But right now, we gonna first jump into Squid Game. If you haven't heard, Squid Game, Korean series out on Netflix, all the outlets are talking about it right now. I brought it up between the bros, so we've all took a sample of it. Me personally, I finished the series because on my downtime, I binge watch stuff. Because if it's a movie, I'm gonna watch the movie 2 or 3 times just so I can get every detail. If it's a series, I'm gonna binge watch it right then. Then I have to rewatch it. The whole of all of again to make sure I get every detail. Right now, I just finished watching Squid Game a couple of days ago. Haven't started rewatching it yet, but boy, oh boy, I'm not gonna give you no spoilers. I'm not gonna go into detail about every episode. We just gonna go over the overview of what we've seen so far. I believe it's y'all up on episode 1, right?
Yeah, I got the one. I wasn't able to get to the rest of it, but I got the one. One was trippy enough.
Definitely covered. We can definitely cover what we've seen so far. And I can give on just a little bit of the overview of it. So as far before we go into episode 1, just an overview of the series. Like Squid Game itself, it's a journey of, what can I say, dedication, desperation, revenge, and just the humanistic elements of each person. You feel like what we're willing to do, what we're not willing to do just to be able to survive.
Boy, I'm up to episode 5. So I got a theory about something.
Good.
But I'm scared to go there because I don't want to spoil nothing for myself either. And I definitely don't want to fuck up Pat's experience.
Like I said, I ain't.
But you've seen the first episode, right, Pat?
Yeah, I've seen the first episode.
Okay, so you've seen the old dude.
Yeah, I've seen the old dude.
Okay.
And I openly watch spoilers, so I don't even care.
My theory is the old dude is this nigga daddy or some wild shit like that. Like, or he related to him or something, they kin each other somehow in a way, but they don't realize it somehow, like they've been separated or something like this. Some shit like that.
It is some wild shit with that old motherfucker, but that's all I'm gonna get you. It is some wild shit with him.
Because they've been getting too buddy-buddy, they got some weird similarities and shit. Like, it's some weird shit going on with them.
It's two major flips, so you already into it. So I can't get, because Pat ain't into it all the way, so I can't eat too much, but it's two major flips. Once you get past the episodes you at, you can get one big flip. It's two major flips on the last 2 episodes. Then you're going to be like,
because then I'm going to fuck it up. If y'all ain't seen this show, is fucking amazing. It's a very good show. I got my wife on it and everything.
People who watched our show, y'all see the different type of stuff we watch and y'all see the different type of stuff I recommend. I've never really recommended a series. I recommend movies because I'm a movie hater. I consider myself to be a movie buff. But just on series, I'm an eclectic person, but I recommend this series, not just based on everybody in America rating it top series right now and all that. I don't care what nobody else really thinks. It's about what I think. And I think everybody should take a sample of this series. Give it at least a 3 or 4 episode chance. You feel me? It's subtitles. So if you don't like reading, it may not be for you. But if you are a mentalist like myself and my cohorts, you may want to watch it. Ain't nothing wrong with reading. Elevate your mind. But this Korean series is on point. Like I said, desperation. It got drama. You got a little bit of comedy in there. Action, mystery. Every element of a good series is in this series.
I'm going to tell y'all this, man. I ain't never think I'd see a show that I would put up there with Breaking Bad. This show is like this is the best show I've seen since Breaking Bad. And I really like Watchmen. I really like a lot of shows, but this is really taking the cake because it is so many dynamics. Like, now, if you don't like gore, don't watch it because it'd be some nigga dying.
Yes, but, it is a rated R show. It does have blood and gore.
Don't let your kids pull up on this, champ.
It's not a
very first episode.
It's not an anime.
At least a good 40 to 50 people, probably more than that. I stopped counting, but at least a good 40 to 50 people die throughout the entire third act of the show. The first episode, like you're just watching minute by minute, more and more people get murked. But you can't look away because it's so intriguing the way they do it.
What's the last game you see him play?
Tug of War.
I heard about it.
That tug of war shit.
That old nigga was slick with that shit. I was like, what the fuck? That didn't work.
The tug of war shit. That was a good game.
Yeah.
Red light, green light.
Red light, green light was the first episode, y'all. If you ever played like childhood games, like in the hood, like red light, green light, and Mother May I and shit like that, like hopscotch, even like all your childhood games that you played with your homies in the neighborhood have been turned into these demented ass kill machines. Like
you'll die.
And these people signed up for this shit.
Voluntarily. Now, the premise of the game, this is the key element everyone has to remember. Now, every time someone perishes during the game, I think it's another 100,000 added onto the pot that you win or that is possible for you to win. But the key thing is everyone joins this game voluntarily. The only way the game ends is if there's a winner at the end or if a majority of the people decide together they want to just stop the game altogether.
Yep.
But remember, the more people die, the more money is added onto the pot for you to possibly win. So, and everyone in this game is in deep, deep financial problems or deep problems in their own personal life.
Yeah, they all like gamblers and people who have lost shit. And again,
it's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't.
It's like, do I want to go back to this roach-infested life I was living, or do I want to go ahead and try to get this money and try to outlast these motherfuckers?
Do I die fast or die slow?
People, it's the cornucopia of ages of different people. You feel me? It's not just all Korean because it's one guy from Pakistan in the movie as well, Ali. Great guy, Ali. And I just want to say this. There's a lot of people on Twitter right now that I've heard or down in Sang-woo. Can't hate on Sang-woo, man. At the end of the day, he's a realist. Once y'all get through this series, y'all gonna look back at Sang-woo and be like, you know what? I can't hate him. I know he did some fucked up shit, but I really can't hate him.
I don't know. I ain't there yet. Maybe after episode 9. After episode 5, fuck Sang-woo.
Yeah, I was saying that too.
I'm with the other Twitters, twit heads. Hey, y'all on Twitter, I'm with y'all.
But that is a crazy ass.
If you like binge watching, if you like psychological thrillers, if you like action, if you like even some like dark, if you like kind of dark off beat.
Yes.
Because I ain't gonna lie, I died laughing when the old man was running on the first episode. Like when he was running, he kept.
Yeah.
Like he was, I was like, why is this nigga gritting like that? Nigga cheesing so hard as a bitch. These motherfuckers is dying around him, and this nigga just.
But you see why he went? Because his movements were so slow and so smooth. Everybody else was running. When they were stopped, they would jolt and it would.
Yeah, he was glad that
they hit the brakes fast.
He also won't try to push it. He was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna stop a few seconds before I think this thing about to make sure I got set up."
But at the end, right, the people that made it all the way to the end, did they just kill the rest?
Did not make it got killed. Yeah. So if you were still behind that line, it was like, you still lost. Good day.
And it And you had to be at the point at a by a certain time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
sir.
Yep.
Every game got a time limit. So if you lose the game, you lose. If you don't participate in the game, you lose. So
you better win.
You better win.
All you better do is win.
You can't do it. Even though the game is a sadistic game, at times the game has morals, and the creators of the game always want everyone to have an equal opportunity to be able. They don't want no one to have no advantage. So like, I mean, if they make an American version of this series, I don't know.
I like it.
I don't know.
I just want an American version. I just want
to. I love this one. I wanted to be a season two. That's all I can say. I'm hooked. I've watched every episode. I'm going to start watching it again, the first season again. So
I heard
go ahead.
I heard the creator of it, like he was trying to push the story like 10 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm.
He's been trying to get out there.
For a long time, they denied it. And then now it's like the top series on Netflix.
Yes, it is. And the top series in my heart too.
Alice in Borderland. Before we move on.
Now, if you like Squid Game, this is what I was saying. Watch Squid Game first, then mm-hmm. watch Alice in Borderland. Like, I feel like you're more likely to get engaged with Alice in Borderland once you watch Squid Game, because it sets your brain up for that type of thing. Because Alice in Borderland, its first episode, I've only gotten through the first episode of that one, but it's a little bit slower to build up than Squid Game. Like, Squid Game, it starts off like, the dude regular life is kind of off. So it's like, you got some shit to kind of get you going early. You know it's going to be some shit going on. With the Alice in Borderland, like, you're literally just going through these people mundane ass day until the shit jumps off. But when the shit jumps off, it jumps the fuck off. Like,
the fuck off.
If you a person like me that likes to watch movies and shows and likes to like try to like figure shit out, if you like puzzle games, if you like shit like that, Alice in Borderland is your shit. Because like
you get into it, the more you get into it, you would think the story will unfold more as you find out details. But as you find out more details, the story gets more complicated. So it just draws you in further because you want to find out more to find out more. Yeah.
I hope they don't fuck it up, but it reminds me of Lost. If y'all remember that show Lost, it's really good. And at the end of each show, instead of you having more answers, you have more questions. Like the first episode ended, and I was more confused about what the fuck I had just watched than I had. Like I was like, okay, I finally got it. I get what's going on. So now they about to do this. I knew they was about to do it again, but then all of a sudden they showed the sky, and I was like, "What the fuck is this shit?" Okay, so where are they at? Is this still Earth? Like, what the fuck is this shit? So it's one of them shows, y'all. If you have not seen it, please go see these two shows, yo. I cannot advocate for it enough.
One is Squid Game is all Korean. It's a Korean film. A Korean series, Alice in Borderland is a Japanese series.
And it's best if you put the American voice on. Don't put the subtitles on. Put the put the dub on. Because not only will you actually understand it, but it's also funnier because, you know, the vocal inflections don't be matching the actual, like, feel of the scene sometimes. So it'll give you, like, a little chuckle because, like, it'd be some crazy shit going on and be like, hey, yeah, you know. And, like, motherfucker, it's fire on your ass. How are you talking like that? Nigga, you are burning alive. You know, so like I said, it's good times. I don't watch
series, but those two series got me hooked. I finished both. I'm upset I finished both, but I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and I hate waiting week to week to watch one episode. I have the opportunity to do it. I'm going to binge it and then just binge it again because, hey, it's worth watching again. It's definitely good enough to watch the series twice. I recommend it. Once again, Squid Game and Alice in Borderland, both on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, get it just so you can watch those two.
Indeed. Steal somebody else's password real quick. I'll let your grandma, she ain't using it.
She ain't using it all the time.
Ain't that many episodes of Medlock or Gunsmoke. Man's whatever your grandmother wants.
In the heat of that.
Yo!
I got trouble.
Oh, man. Check out those two shows, Squid Game and then Alice in Borderland. I promise you, though, if you watch Alice in Borderland first, it may not suit you. If you watch Squid Game first, even just the first episode of that, and then watch Alice in Borderland, you will be more intrigued by Alice in Borderland. It's literally like a good pairing of shows. It's like if you want to have like a Thursday night lineup, those are like, you could, if you don't want to binge and you want to kind of have like that suspense where you watch it weekly, a good way to do it is like watch one and watch Squid Game and then watch Alice in Borderlands. Cause it's like, they're good segues in. So yeah, check them out, please. Face be coming with some shit. Sometimes it be like really just like, but then a lot of times it be some shit that be like, just me. But my house is definitely a Squid Game house because me and the wife are on that now. We got our new little date show now. Add that to the list. We're also watching Loki together because I have yet to watch that full series.
I also recommend Big Mouth.
Who?
Big Mouth.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one with the monster?
Definitely.
Yeah, with the puberty
monster. Yeah. Me and the wife definitely watched that. We already got through it. Was on that.
New season coming out. October.
Ooh, when? I will get back on that.
Oh, bro.
That's good. Well, good computer. I don't even know what to call shit no more when it's show no more.
Good media.
Yeah, because ain't nothing on TV no more. It's just all streaming shows. Like, TV ain't shit no more. If you want to get a good show, you got to go to
it. That's there for the old folks.
So, yeah, man. Please watch those two shows. And make sure you stay watching us because we about to get the top MC of the 2000s. Our tournament continues.
I can't stand your way.
Our tournament continues. If you watched last episode, what he just said is going to make so much more sense to you. And it's going to, so go back and watch episode 45. I would say actually watch the past couple of episodes and I think it's 38 when we first started this. But basically, this is where we've gotten to on our journey. We're going into the semifinal bracket tonight. So we're setting our final four. The way we got here is we started establishing, we've been talking about hip hop a lot on the show anyway. But when we have conversations and debates about, you know, our favorite artists and greatest about this or whatever, we wanted to establish some criteria to do that. So we came up with three criteria. We came up with your marketability, your earning potential. So like how much is your face card and your brand drawing record sales, drawing concert sales, merchandise sales, brand deals, endorsements, like how much is your face earning you money and revenue? Then we went into lyricism. So how well do you put words together? Entendre, your metaphors, how well you put idioms together. Your cadence, flow, the rhyme patterns you choose, the way you write a beat, all of that, you know, just how well you write. And you could not have a ghostwriter. You had to have your own original lyrics, be considered lyricism. And then we had your overall MC, your stage presence, how well you project and get your point across through your presence as you're delivering your words. So how much you sell a bar, whether it be a cappella on stage, whether it be on a beat even, like how much are you making me feel what you're saying? As opposed to me just hearing what you're saying and saying, oh, that's a good way to do that. I actually feel it. So yeah, we came up with those three criteria. And when we did that, then it was just like, well, obviously we got to use these. So let's do that. So we thought it would be too big of a task because we had already kind of behind the scenes talking, just like, we're going to be all over the place if we try to do like the greatest of all time straight out. So we spread it into two categories. We started right now with of the 2000. From here, we're going to go to the time, I mean, of the greatest since before 2000. And then we're going to have those two, the Pod Squad help. We've already started. Like I said, we've got opening round and now the final round. So we're going to now give our picks tonight for the quarterfinals. The Pod Squad has voted and I have their votes in front of me as well. As you guys know, each of us gets a vote and the Pod Squad, their choice counts as two votes. So you have to have three out of the five or basically a majority decision in order for that MC to move on to the next round. So it is possible for one partner and the Pod Squad to outvote the other two partners. So it's important that you guys vote, get your votes out there. I saw a few more votes. Let's get the votes out there. The link will be on the Twitter, on our social, and under this video and podcast as soon as it drops. So get out, vote, so your voice can be heard. Let's get into it. Right now, we are at the top eight. We are looking at Mob versus Rick Ross, the 5'9". Joe Budden faces J. Cole and Big Sean Squad. It's time for the partner. Which one of those do y'all want to start with first? or should we just go from the top to the bottom? And let me make sure I share this, family. I want to make sure to get on this as well.
We're going to start from the easy and then go to the difficult. We're going to start with Big Sean and 2 Chainz.
Big Sean, Shane, on the board right now. So, anyone of y'all want to first?
I'm going to take it first. Okay. I'm going to say, when it comes to their marketability, I'm going to say 2 Chainz, Titty Boy. He's been doing this thing, and he's been doing this thing well. His crossover marketability is very well. He's accepting a lot of different markets. I mean, his entrepreneurial game is where it needs to be so he can push himself in different realms where I feel that Big Sean hasn't and can't. Don't get it wrong, Big Sean is profitable. He can't put himself in different lanes as well, but the lanes that 2 Chainz can get in, I don't believe that Big Sean can or has the potential to get in those lanes.
Okay.
As far as lyricism, I'm going to have to go with 2 Chainz. His wordplay is just ridiculous when it comes to his caliber of rapper or MC, I should say. Nowhere near God level, but his ability to take a word and make it do what it do, I should say, is on a level that Big Sean's isn't. Now, once again, devil's advocate, Big Sean is a good lyricist because, once again, he wouldn't have made it this far if he wasn't. But better than 2 Chainz, he is. Stage performance, hands down, 2 Chainz. No words ever needed. Just hands down, 2 Chainz. So I'm giving it a 3-0, 2 Chainz.
Okay. 3-0, 2 Chainz. We got our first 30, dirty. Pat, how, what say ye?
I think 2 Chainz is going to win this anyway. I'll explain why, but I know you ain't going to pick Big Sean. So let me just explain. 2 Chainz got him on marketability. 2 Chainz got him on stage performance. Lyricism was a coin flip to me because Big Sean got some lines. It's just that I don't like how he flow. Like, 2 Chainz stays on beat. Big Sean, he stays on beat, but he tries to do too much and say too many words in between each lines, and it throws him off.
Off beat.
Yeah, he tries to force it. And I feel like it's a lot of potential in Big Sean, but yeah, I'm gonna just give it to 2 Chainz. So yeah, I'm going to the next one. So yeah, 2-1.
Both got all 2 3. Chain. All right. Well, this is where I'm at. I'm gonna say, where do I wanna start? Lyricism. I had to listen to a couple of their tracks over to kind of refresh because I hadn't really listened to either one of them. I got them as a tie on this. They're both really good at what they do. If I had to look at battle rap, I would say Big Sean is more of a mix. Like, he punches and talks, whereas 2 Chainz is more of a straight puncher, like an ab. Punch, punch, punch. And both are masters. So I like
Similac.
Yeah, I had to give him a tie on that. Yes. As for the stage show, I gave it to. I've seen that nigga do some wild shit on stage, so I definitely gave that for marketability. 2 Chainz faces everyone. That nigga is on everything. He's like Frank's Red Hot. He put that shit on everything. He's on like places that, like, he's like Snoop Dogg. Like, the shit that you be like, what are you doing on this? And he's hosting someone there. So it's like, I just, for me not to, like, I don't know what real estate or whatever, Big Sean, but as far as like making money off your face card and the pod squad. So we have our first ups of the night. Let's see where we go from here, y'all.
2 Chainz moves like, on. I kind of felt like that was going to happen with the pod squad.
2 Chainz.
I didn't see the Big Sean win coming. I ain't going to lie. I was like, oh.
I still thought it might be a possibility that I just like Chainz music more problem.
Like I said, lyricism, I think they're just different. But you said what? Joe Budden?
And fucking Jake. Fucking.
Ain't no telling where we about to go. Do you want to go first or last?
I let one of y'all go first.
Okay. So this was actually a tough. Oh, go ahead, Pat.
I don't be real simple. Pretty much. Lyricism is very hard to say or whatever. So I really feel like both of them touch on life subjects. They both have bars, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as content go, they're very versatile or whatever. So I got to look at other stuff. Joe Budden is marketable, but we're talking about rap. What he's marketable at is in the podcast game, right? And in social media and stuff like that, which if he was actually in the game still and he was actually doing music, it would make him more marketable as far as a rapper, but he hasn't done that yet. He hasn't chose not to do that yet. So as far as like social medias and the podcast game, he is very marketable. But we're talking about rap. We're talking about J. Cole. J. Cole mentor is Jay-Z. One, he's under Rock Nation too. His stats in the game, having platinum albums with no features or whatever. He just has way more stats than Joe Budden has. And I feel like the reason why is Joe Budden was in that age where you just didn't mix shit all the way. You just put the shit out so you can have your because you know what I'm saying? At that time, we were more listening to lyrics than sound. Now we're more listening to sounds than lyrics or whatever. And I would say stage presence, it definitely go to Cole or whatever. So to tell you the truth, lyricism and marketability, they're kind of tied up for me. But it's just the simple fact that Joe Budden marketability is not in rap no more. It's in podcasts and social media that I have to give it to Cole. And just Cole is just having an awesome 2-3 years lately. Like he's the only rapper that ends up being the basketball player. And then the NBA starts looking at him and then drops a platinum album and then drop a tour, one of the first tours that ever came out. And then maybe not the top MC, but the top rap artist at the time just drops in.
Yeah.
And he just does not do that for everybody. He did it, but he did it after he did a freestyle, after J. Cole did a freestyle on that artist's beat. And he had to come in and say, hey, man, you're the greatest person in the world. I don't want no smoke. You my friend. You are a great person.
Why We're can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Quinn and Copilots be laughing their ass off right now with you singing that shit. I know Sean, I know, yep, when my brother listen to this, he gonna be laughing just because you did that. Anyway, so long story short, I'm gonna give it to Cole because he has more potential, more prowess, and more stats or whatever. I feel like if Joe Budden probably would have the same backing as Cole did, pretty much, he would probably be in a higher light as far as rap go, but his personality, all his antics and shit kind of got in the way of that shit. So,
okay.
And Face don't like him. So, I think he's cool. I like his podcast. You know,
or should I jump?
I'll go ahead.
This is the most biased voting.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Warning, people who be coming in here. I knew this would be as soon as he said. It's about to happen right now, so you can go ahead and click off if you triggered by that, because Face about to say some shit, because he don't like Joe Budden.
Like I've always said, opinions is like assholes. We all got one, so most of them stink. Y'all may think mine stink right now, but guess what? I don't care, because it's mine.
I don't give a fuck.
And if you don't like it, you can fast forward. Listen to the next man's opinion, but right now is mine. I don't like Joe Budden. I don't like his lyrics. I don't like his stage performance. I don't like his marketability. But
I don't like his marketability.
I'm going to try to be as unbiased as possible.
Thinking your phone is being unbiased or whatever that is.
Your phone like Joe Budden.
Yeah.
Phone said, you're going to get Joe Budden, damn it.
Fuck that shit. So, as I was saying,
if
I'm giving an unbiased view, it's kind of like, but J. Cole is still ascending, where the other dude is plateaued and going on downward slope. So as J. Cole is still has his lyricism is still maturating and achieving new heights, Joe Budden is. So on lyrics, I'm going to give it to Cole because he's doing things right now that I don't think Joe can do. Overall, I'm going to say Joe is a good lyricist. I may not like him, but I'm not going to hate on a person's ability. He's a good lyricist, but better than Cole, it's hard for me to say because Cole inches him out by this much. Just inches him out. Marketability, Cole being who he is and his personality and the aura of him and what he puts out about himself and what he tries to do in the community, that makes him able to step in different realms that Joe Budden can't. But on the other hand, Joe Budden's personality puts him in different arenas that the positivity of J. Cole won't allow him to. So overall, marketability as a person and as a whole, I will go with Joe Budden. But in the MC realm, I'm going to go with J. Cole. So per this contest and per this list we're going for, per our rules, I have to say J. Cole. But if we were just outside of our rules and we were being a tad and then marketability, I would go with Joe Budden. Now, stage performance and the MC ability, the ability to sway that crowd and give them that feel. Fuck Joe Budden. I don't feel he has none. None at all. None. Just it. Fuck Joe Budden. I don't feel he has no ability to move no crowd. None. I've seen Joe Budden. I was just looking at him. I'm not going to pump nothing up. I'm not going to get down none of the other songs.
Oh God, Joe Budden stole your girl back in fourth grade or something, yo. Like, what the fuck, yo? I'm so angry with Joe
Budden. But now, J. Cole, on the other hand, he has that ability to sway the crowd. Like, people get emotionally in tune. They feel his music. It gives them some relation of what they used to go from. Like, he got that starter for the bottom type feel to him, but he's around it. He hasn't outgrown his shoes. He's still about the community. He's still saying what he needs to say in a real way, not sugarcoating, but giving it to you in a way that you can understand. You feel me? Everybody can understand. Not in a too complicated way, like you see some lyricists, give you their message, and you got to break it down because it's so complicated, but the flow is so tight. His, with J. Cole in reference, give it to you. His flow is so tight, but everybody understands him. That's why. People mess with him on such a wide scale. You got people from all age ranges that mess with J. Cole. Feel like, so you'll see all age ranges at his concerts. Joe Budden, I don't know who the fuck goes to a Joe Budden concert. Why the fuck would you? So waste your money.
More like a slaughterhouse.
That's me. Now, if you're going to see the collective, hey, it's the collective that drew you in. It wasn't Joe Budden. You need to realize that, people. It wasn't Joe Budden that drew you to that concert. It was the collective of artists there and their collective songs together. It was not Joe Budden. Realize to yourself. Anybody who's watching this, like, face you crazy, face, you know, Joe Budden. No, realize.
I don't know, sir. They're going to let you have it in the comments.
Let me have it.
And all my listeners on Anchor, leave us a voice message. Let us know what you.
Let me know. I'm just saying, man. No, Joe Budden. No. Now, if you watch this reality show and all that other stuff, you may be a Joe Budden fan. But we're talking about his music and his MC ability. No, Joe Budden. No. Like, I'm talking to my kids. No. No. Never said he was trash. Did not say that. But no. So I would say 2-1. Excuse me. J. Cole. Only because I can't give that. You feel me? Well, excuse me. Rewind that. 3-0, J. Cole. Because I can't give that 1 to marketability.
Got it.
So J. Cole wins 3-0 only because marketability can't be given fuckboy on totality.
Oh man.
I can have my own damn opinion. Shit. That's in the world, dude.
That was a lot. You didn't go as hard as I thought you were, though. I would say that was much more objective than I thought it would be. So kudos to you.
See?
I thought it was gonna be a lot more F bombs drop.
I don't like what I don't like. If I don't like it, I don't like it. Like, y'all was upset when I said I ain't like Nas. So what? I'm a Southern hate. I like Southern music. So what? I love Jay-Z. I love Jadakiss. I love Beans. They from up north. But now.
Well.
But now, Joe Budden.
I'll start with lyricism. The lyricism was hard for me. But then I remember J. Cole is responsible for one of my top favorite bars of all time. The flow cold as the shoulders of gold digging hoes when broke me. Told y'all I'm focused. That is the motherfucking, like, to spit that bar on a song with Jay-Z, on an album of that magnitude at that moment, as a person that's pretty much an unknown in the game, said everything to me, and he living up to that. He has more pockets than Joe, so I had to give him the edge on that. As far as lyrical content, pretty much neck and neck. But it's really more the flow patterns, cadences, and areas that Cole can get into that I haven't heard from Joe yet. Right. So lyrically, I gave it to Cole. Marketability wise, I didn't separate them from each other as far as like your marketability outside. Cause like with 2 Chainz, I can sit like in TV shows and shit like that, how expensive shit is. Like, I look at the podcast and shit as a flip off of what Joe Budden did, like, because even when he was rapping, like, because I look at the totality of his career, not just now, but like Pump It Up days, shit was everywhere. The nigga song is on fucking Jock Jam, which means every arena in the country plays that shit at some point to get the crowd hype. So people that might not even realize they love Joe Budden be in the crowd, huh, on the dance cam.
The bathroom,
he basically... he was the one of the first big YouTubers. Like, a lot of the reason that we watch celebrities and that type of shit now and the way we do is because of the shit he was doing on YouTube back when he was still dropping movies to hear his shit. So, like, I feel like if I'm going to give 2 Chainz credit for a lot of the shit I gave him credit for with Marketer saying with Joe Budden, so I would say Marketer. We go to... I thought about this, right? And the image I could not get out of my head was Joe Budden versus Hollow the Don. And this nigga saying a punchline and like punching the air like this, like, yeah, and doing this little kick. And it was so like, you don't look like somebody, uncle up there. If you don't, that is not it, bro. So like, I think it's just hard for me to see anything else. And I see J. Cole rocking crowds having for crying. So like, and his freestyles be fucking. So the stage presence. And this is our first 5-0 of the day. Pod Squad was with.
I don't think that's the only time he got like a 5-0 too. So
yeah,
it's kind of showing who's going to
You got to think, J. Cole first round, he's demons. That won't be no cut and dry. He kind of a legend. That was a tough time. Next week, which leaves us in this quarterfinal round or pushes final. You want to go next, fella?
Ross.
Oh, Rick Ross the most. We're going most. Ross. Kendrick Lamar versus Rick Ross. I'll go first here. Lyricism, it was Kendrick. Kendrick, one of them top tier lyricists. He on that island of them goats. The way he put shit together, the thought process, lanes he uses, flow switches, wide variety of get on, content wise and flow wise makes sense. It's just so I gave Lamar. He's just more of a wordsman. I definitely, as far as vibe on a track, I like Ross a little better to ride out to him. But as far as just like technical skill with lyrics and how you put together and how you use words to paint a picture, Kendrick lyrics. Stage presence was tough. Stage presence, it was close because I've seen both of these show fucking down. But the stage is Kendrick rocks. Kendrick rocks them Kanye, Drake, Jay-Z type crowd at this level of career. So it's just a different level. When you're master stadiums, you wanted them. So, I gave stage presence. And as far as marketability, I actually gave this to Rick Ross. When I'm thinking marketability, I feel like as far as Kendrick will get it as far as record sales, concert sales, I'm not 100% sure because I feel like Ross tours more than Kendrick. Like Kendrick might make a real big bag on like the one he does, but he might not tour again 2-3 years. Whereas Ross, I feel like he's almost always on a tour. I feel like every time I look, his name is on the flyer. I can hear a name on the radio. And so like, I feel like he does more of it. So I wasn't really sure where he stood on that. But I feel like as far as with the liquor, the amount that he does from outside sources, and the fact that when I think of somebody, a kid in Japan, I feel like if I showed them a picture of both and was like, who is this? They're going to say Rick Ross and kind of Rick Ross. They're going to know him just because of his image being so big before they would think of, oh, that's Kendrick Lamar. So I gave marketability actually to Rick Ross. So I had it 2-1. So either one of y'all want to go.
I'll go. Let's see. I do. Because this is one you really have to think. Because like you said, Kendrick has, he can get different kinds of crowd. And I like them both. Or whatever. But all right, lyricism, I definitely went with Kendrick. And stage presence, you're right. Rick Ross tours more. Kendrick only tours every once in a while. But I feel like that's only because Kendrick don't have to tour all the time.
This is, Kendrick has, you know, a bigger tour. Ross more
frequent. Like I feel like the bag that he would get from the tours that he would get, or the opportunities or whatever for festivals and stuff that he would get, kind of outweighs the little small tours or whatever. Plus he's one of those obscure artists that he only comes back for the music, pretty much. Like, he's really for the music. So I kind of gave Rick Ross the marketing on that side, because outside of music you really don't know Kendrick for that, for anything else. But he's so good at music, that's probably the reason.
Yeah,
why
I'm sure.
I'm going to give stage presence to Kendrick just because of that or whatever. I feel like Ross, he can rock his crowd.
Rock it.
Probably he can rock his crowds more, but Kendrick's crowds are so big that you can't just say, you know, you can't just.
It takes more mastery to rock.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it to Kendrick. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
AC.
Started by saying once again, Rick Ross is one of my favorite rappers.
Ross.
Both.
Boss, hands down.
Nothing else said. Listen to a Kendrick song, listen to a Ross song. Lyricism, hands down. You can take your very best Ross song. I don't care if you have a feature or not. You can take your very best Kendrick song, feature or not. Match them up. Lyricism, hands down. We'll go to Kendrick. Marketability. Tough question for me right
there. That was the one.
Marketability. Ross's name is everywhere. Often, Ross. But when Kendrick does choose to make an appearance, everybody wants to see him. You feel me?
It's down everything.
It's like the mystery of Kendrick. So it makes it tough. Both of them could go to some of the same areas, some of the same spots, some of the same pockets when it comes to that marketability. But Ross has multiple lanes of relevant, the wing spot. In different city, the
ability, yes, he does.
Get, the ability to gift your children with a business, that's one thing. So marketability, I'm gonna go with Ross. Stage presence, that's a tough one for me too, because Ross can't rock a crowd, but Kendrick got the ability to make people feel the lyrics and take them to a different level. So I'm gonna say Kendrick 2-1.
Okay, 5-0. The pod squad agreed. This was actually a tougher round for me than I expected. I definitely thought that was easy money. Then I went in, I started analyzing. I'm closer than I thought. So shout out to Rose, but pod squad and the partners in our last round of the quarterfinal, the last member of the final four, push it first. Royce, 5-9. Pat.
Oh man, that's funny. Y'all picked me first. All right, let me get right down to it. I'm gonna go to lyricism first. Cause that's easy to go ahead and knock that out of the way. I gave Royce that just for the obvious reason. Pusha T has lyrics and he has bars. Royce is one of those people that just have bars within bars, and just the sparring partner that he's been in league with is gonna keep his sword sharp, so to speak. But
all of his partners.
Yeah, exactly. So when you are constantly around that, there's no way. And I mean, you know, you're in a group with like Joel Ortiz and Crooked Eye, the mainstay of the label is Eminem or whatever. Like, nah, it's no way around. Now marketing, I'll go back to marketing. Nah, either way, it's kind of hard. But he's the one, his stage presence or whatever. I was going to give Pusha T a stage presence. Mind you, I know Royce can rock the crowd, and I've seen them Slaughterhouse videos or whatever where they do rock the crowd. But I feel like Pusha T can get a lot more venue and be in bigger venue, right, just because of the people around them. And that's the same thing with marketability. I just feel like because Royce, you have his the past couple of years, he's been rising to fame a lot more. Everybody respects his pen. I mean, he's done stuff with classic producers like Premier, but I still feel like Pusha T does a lot more stuff around outside of rap. I mean, before we even get to the fact that he's the president of good music and right there beside Kanye, a lot, you know. He has this clothing line. He has he's on the low, has pushed the hip hop culture, like on the low as far as like fashion and gear in general. And then he's been around Pharrell so much. He's just got a lot more stats under his belt. I mean, he got jingles and stuff that he gets checks from McDonald's and Arby's and stuff like that. So
yes, he does.
He's done a lot of stuff outside of rap, and I'm not talking about the so-called inspiration to his rap, which he just did bills outside of rap that would have his name out, just way more prevalent than Royce. So probably surprisingly so to a lot of people, because Royce is one of my, I like Royce more than Pusha T. But like I said before, if it was just lyricism, I would have probably picked Royce, but I picked Pusha T, 2-1.
Okay, so we got one vote for the push. Face, you want in on this?
Oh yeah. So marketability, Pusha T, hands down. Royce don't get his face out there enough. That's just it. Pusha T puts himself out there to be marketable. He's based himself. He has the ability to be marketable, coming from the clips, coming to his own, and plus the connection with Pharrell, and just building his own knowledge based on being around them. He knows how to be marketable. So that's just hands down. Stage performance. Right on that one. When it comes to that one, I say it's a toss up because I feel like both of them give the crowd about the same thing. They can move the crowd about the same way to me. So I gave it to Royce. Lyrics, sorry, Pusha. I'm biased to the VA, but I gave it to Royce. So I gave it to Royce 2-1.
Now that's surprising.
I did not see this coming, folks. Royce 2-1.
Upset.
From Faith, that's definitely not what I saw coming. I thought that was gonna pass, but y'all definitely surprised me. All right.
Ooh. Oh man.
Lyricism, funny his push. I actually had that as a bit of a push at first. And then I went back and listened to like one of those old bad and good and what did they call them?
Bad meets the evil.
Yeah. Roy's different. He one of them different lyricism. He definitely has a lot more go with his lyrics. And I feel like Push is almost pigeonholed himself into certain content that just doesn't make sense from him, whereas Royce can kind of go anywhere with it. As far as different pockets, I definitely feel like Royce has more different cadences that I've heard him. Push kind of has that same flow on everything. So yeah, Royce for lyricism. Oh, no, Royce for lyricism. For marketability, that was easy to tee. Royce got the Eminem bag, but Push is the president of a label that also has Kanye as the man, as the owner of that. His last album was great. He knows how to really get out there and put his face in the right spots. And the fact, like you said, he flipped that music into using his music to take him into industries where like a lot of people wouldn't expect a hip hop artist to be like, doing Arby's, Jingles, McDonald's. So marketability, I gave it to. As far as stage presence, I gave that to Push. Royce the 5'9" dry to me. He can rap his ass off, but he's not very, he don't have a lot of presence. Like even his great freestyles where the lyrics are great, it don't be presented well to me. I feel like Royce the 5'9" is a perfect example of a rapper that I prefer to read his lyrics, really hear him. So for that reason, Push 2-1. And the Pod Squad agree with us. 4-1. Push a T. We got a VA representative in the building. Our final four is Kendrick Lamar versus T, J. Cole versus 2 Chainz. So get out there and vote, Pod Squad, as we get our top ready so we can crown our top MC of the 2000s. Shout out to everyone who's already been voting and just keep votes coming in, man. Also, if you're listening to this on Anchor, let us know in the voice messages what your favorite MC of the 2000s is. If you're watching this on YouTube or listening to this on anything else, let us know down in the comments how you felt about it. What did you think of it? Who's your favorite MC? Did we get the list right to start with? Who we leave out? Let us know in the comments or with a voice. And yeah, man, that's this week's episode, a segment of the top of the 1000s. We're on that road, people. We're almost about to crown our champ. And that
looking
pretty much.
Obvious.
Now, what I will say is we've been growing in votes. Some votes have been still kind of skimp, and that's some fuckery. But that's okay, because it's the perfect time to talk about it. It's time. Oh, it's time. Did y'all check y'all clock?
For the good.
Man, it's way past time.
It's
we started
time.
Late.
It's time.
It's way past time.
It's time.
For the good and fuckery.
Good and
y'all thought I was froze, right? I thought it was the internet, right?
Fuckery.
So, episode 46, good and fuckery. Let's get the good out the way. Not to say I don't like a lot of good. Lord knows I need it for the past day that I've had so far. But let's start off with good here.
Yes.
We were just talking about the hip-hop MCs, whatnot. So guess who won Lyricist of the Year at the BET Hip Hop Award?
Who would that be, Pat?
J. Cole.
Well deserved.
Yeah, it's a reason why he's at where he's at on our stats here, on our little tournament we got going on.
Let's go, Cole. Let's go, Cole. He's proving us right.
And I like it when people prove me right.
I'm not mad at
not mad at all.
And matter of fact, let's get right into it or whatever, because the BET Hip Hop Awards was
that did happen,
even know
did
when it?
I found out it happened I was like, oh, that thing went down. What was that?
Yeah,
like, they had a cypher and everything. Where was that?
Award shows be, let me tell you something, award shows, the only reason why award shows are exciting is because of the memes afterwards. And that's with a lot of shows. Like the award show, there's like really no point. All it is just a promotional advertisement segment for labels, pretty much. But we'll get into that later on. But these are the awards that they've gotten out here. So Nelly won the I Am Hip Hop Icon. I find that ironic, because of all the stuff him and KRS-One was going through in the past, but yeah, he got the
am number one.
But ironic, yeah, it's one of those things where I feel like pretty sure when it comes to like hip hop, it might have been in a couple of other people that has not been brought up that might have pioneered this. That might have, could, you know. I don't leave because I'm not going to doubt number anybody's one achievement.
Hot in the hair.
And he is happens to be the number one hip hop icon. I am hip hop icon. So
underlay, mommy,
Man, my first year at ODU, my roommate, it was a white roommate. He played Nelly like it was Wu-Tang Clan. I swear to God. Like he played that Country Grammar album like day in, day out.
The album was kind of hard.
It was, but
especially
I just
for that particular time, like it was all right.
Yeah, but I at that time
we know Mr. I wasn't Boom that. Bap, we know.
Yeah,
Lord,
I wasn't that progressive know at that time.
You should have been born in 1994 in the middle of the Bronx somewhere. you missed your era, like nigga. That shit is done, nigga. Niggas is singing. Okay, get used to this shit. This shit ain't going back in the box.
Personally, I don't like niggas serenading to me all the damn time. Okay, that was what rap was for. You got how many forms of music that singing is involved in, and then you want to come up with the one music that I could actually attach? All right, I'm gonna leave it alone. We're gonna go back to the hip hop awards or whatever. One thing, all these genres of music.
Music, nigga.
Fuck, you know, it's been a I'm about to say, man. I'm not even gonna say that. I'm not, because I'm about to do it.
Good job. But
man, I'm not.
It's probably smart man on this show, whatever you was about to say. You probably said
I probably shouldn't have. But anyway, I don't know who Little Sims is, but they got the International Flow Award, so I'm pretty sure they're like an international artist. Little Sims. It's a girl. It's a lady.
Little Sims?
Little Sims. And she spelled out the whole word little.
Like the video game, The Sims?
Yeah. But she's an international artist, so I'm not going to think, you know, say if she was in America, I would say, yeah. First of all, if she was in America, she probably would have
named
herself
Afro
L-I-L. That's what I'm thinking.
Feel like Alpha.
No, she's a British rapper. Her name, her stage name is short for a real name. Her name is Symbiatu or Simbi for short.
Lil Sims, yep. We can call him Lil Sims. So, that's good.
Yes. Yeah. So British rapper. Jay-Z got best feature verse on What It Feels Like. That's that song with Nipsey.
Okay.
Well deserved.
DJ of the Year, DJ Skeen. I don't know who that is. Song and Hip Hop Video of the Year is WAP. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. What It Feels Like is the Impact Track of the Year, which is that Jay-Z Nipsey song. New Hip Hop Artist of the Year, Young Blue. I don't know. Album of the Year.
They said time heals. Don't go being no life without me. Your mind deal. And I don't wanna go and let you, baby. I wish that we could trade places. Don't want no boo faces. She got my heart be racing. Yeah, y'all gonna deal with off key singing on here again.
All right. So what's
his face eats the mic?
Album of the Year is Tyler the Creator. Call Me If You Get Lost. I don't know. He sounds like he's sweeping the microphone.
He is eating that shit. I heard it chew.
Sneeze.
Shit you will only hear on the Partners Podcast. One of the hosts eating the mic.
Well, actually, you know what? Tyler got three awards. three awards on the Hip Hop Awards. He got like Album of the Year, Live Performer of the Year, and that performance I saw on the Grammys, I give it to him. Where he was like walking in the wind or something like that out the Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. And he got cultural influence, and I'll give it to him on that. I can give it to him on it because he on the low, he's done a lot of like cultural stuff on the low. I mean, matter of fact,
he low key a trendsetter.
Yeah,
I can see the logic
and all that stuff. Let's see your favorite female rapper, Saweetie, got Hustler of the Year. I always feel like Hustler of the Year is like one of those.
You can move on.
Yeah, right. I think her meal is still at McDonald's, y'all. All right.
Protect black women, so I ain't gonna say what I think.
Hip Hop Platform of the Year is Genius, which is convenient. I think that's well deserved because if whenever I need to find a lyric, Genius is there. Nothing else. No, not for it. Producer of the Year is Hit Boy. I give him that. Artist of the Year is Lil Baby. Duo and group is Lil Baby and Lil Durk because they had a joint album together. Hip Hop Award for Best Collaboration. Once again, it's WAP. And first of all, let's give it up for Virginia. All right, now that I said that, Video Director of the Year is Missy Elliott.
Let's go, Missy. I ain't even know people still watch video.
Yeah.
The last YouTube, time you watched a music video.
On YouTube. And Tyler, when that Family Ties Baby King song came out, because that's the first time I heard about that Kendrick verse. That was about a month ago. I probably watched one video a month, every 2 months, every 3 months, or whatever. So yeah, that was the BET Hip Hop Awards, y'all. More Black excellence. Bubba Wallace becomes the first Black driver to win top NASCAR race since 1963.
Wow.
Yeah, 1963.
Well, there's one of the stories I was gonna cover later. So we got four stories for positive Black news, y'all. But that is some good. No, but that's some good because NASCAR is one of the most racist sports
ever.
Period. Yeah. So the fact that a Black man out here winning a major race finally, like that's, you can get some old Black racers inspired like that and get some old kids that look and be like, ooh, I can do that. I'd like to do that now.
Yeah, that's one of those ones. I'm not expecting the Negro national. What is it? The
Negro National Anthem?
Yeah, Negro National Anthem. I just couldn't get the word anthem out. I don't expect that to be at NASCAR.
No, I doubt it. I don't expect the Confederate flags to go nowhere.
I don't either. Don't either. Okay. The next versus that comes up is KRS-One versus Big Daddy Kane. Just to let y'all know. Yep. That's the next one. That is the next one. And
I know who I'm going to be going for, but...
That is a tough one. I mean, KRS-One gave me the mic one time, so I'm kind of biased, so I can't say.
No, that's your buddy.
Yeah, he was cool. Anyway.
He tucked you up in his nostril and everything.
I mean, he dapped me up, man. He dapped me up. So I'm going to leave it alone.
I did that just to get FaZe to laugh.
Yeah, I know.
Can you imagine him, though, like... Everybody he know that he friends with, he'd be like, come in, man, break it in. I mean, and he just tucked you up in his nostrils. I got you. You need a ride.
I ain't gonna joke that bad, man. That man gave me the bike and then dapped me up after. So I must have did a good job. So I'm gonna leave that
big as hell.
That is true.
And that's from a big nose nigga.
That is.
I know it's one of my people.
Yeah, that is a massive nose.
You see what I did there? I know.
Let's get to the You knows. Let's get to the fuckery.
Let's get to it.
First slight fuckery. Y'all seen about the Super Mario Brothers movie that's coming out? It's an anime.
Didn't they already do that and it didn't work well?
But it's not live action.
And they had some big ass Goombas doing this on the damn elevator.
Yep. But guess what? Yeah. It's a whole bunch of like just
niggas had those big ass old school.
Big, you remember coats.
You remember when you was growing up and there'd be like a kid that might have like a foot that's shorter than the other. They had those big boots with this braces on the side.
Oh yeah.
That first Mario Brothers movie had them, they ain't actually super jump from the mushroom or nothing. They just had these little hydraulic shoes on.
Oh yeah.
I was like, man, y'all get this shit out of here. Had a fat old guy and John Leguizamo. But the shit that killed me was in the cartoon or the video game. The Goombas was these little shits that jumped on.
Yeah,
And in the movie, you give me this big 7'6", 335-pound linebacker-looking nigga with a trench coat on, with a little head. Oh, little head, big body ass. What the fuck out of here? That ain't no Goomba.
Are y'all ready for the cast of the Super Mario? All right. So let's start it off. Star-Lord is voicing Mario.
Oh, so this is not a real movie. You said it's
a cartoon. No, it's a cartoon.
Oh.
It's a cartoon.
Okay, well, this can be pulled off.
This going to be what pulled off. Chris Pratt is playing Mario. He all right. Mm-hmm. Luigi is Charlie Day. Keegan-Michael Key from Keegan Hill.
Yeah.
He is Toad. He's Toad. Yep. He is Toad.
I didn't think Toad's voice was that deep. All right.
No, voice actors, they can inflect, you know, but give a little voice like this or some junk like that.
Okay. They're going to have to, because I'm imagining Toad as a character with his voice, and it's not registered for me.
I think it would be funny, though.
It's gonna be something.
Like, what if they got
a toad come out the back? Hey guys, fuck is up.
That joke.
Y'all got them mushrooms and stars. I got them fire flower for needed.
All in this treasure.
Come meet me down this pipe real quick.
Pop, pause. The game. Pause the game. Guess who's Donkey Kong? Yes, Donkey Kong is in this movie, and guess who he is?
He is not.
It's Seth Rogen. Pineapple Express himself.
I can see that because wasn't he Wreck-It Ralph?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I can see that.
He's also
it's the same type of big loafy character, so I can see that.
Mm-hmm. One of our great voice, black voice actors, Kevin Michael Richardson. He's also in it, but he's playing an unknown character called Kamek. I think that's like the wizard Koopa. But guess who's playing King Koopa?
Nigga, I'm still guessing who the nigga you just said, Kevin Michael Cooper. What's
his in the nerd world, Kevin Michael, I just like to give it up for like the black actors and black voice actors that's out there that people might not know about. Kevin Michael Richardson, he's played John Stewart in the Justice League game, Justice League cartoon. Like, he's probably played almost every deep voice black character that's in cartoons, period. Whatever. But yeah, look him up, y'all. It's Kevin Michael Richardson.
Yeah. You said that nigga name casual as hell, like we done seen this nigga on the rig. I don't know this nigga.
Yeah. Y'all might not know, but you look him up, man. You'll see all the stuff that, matter of fact, I'm about this right. I'm gonna tell now, y'all.
Man.
That
oh fuck yeah, I don't know if I'm crying for real or if I'm laugh crying, but I'm crying. Oh shit.
His role, let's see, he's done a man, it's time. We'll go back into this. I'm gonna make that a whole segment. He's like a Lamar Burton, like those type of like voice actors pretty much. But yeah, guess who's playing Cooper? King Cooper. Jack Black is playing King Cooper.
I would have rather Robert De Niro for some reason. I don't know why, but in my head, I can see Cooper.
I kind of want Danny DeVito to play Toad, but because I think that would be hilarious.
Or Joe Pesci.
I actually want Danny DeVito to play Mario.
Now, that would be good.
But, yeah.
Oh, man. I don't fucking... Oh, man.
Okay. So, Monday, it was a Facebook out.
Kevin Thomas Leroy.
I'm proud of big up Black Quick, man.
Niggas always gotta have three names and shit, man. I don't need to know your middle name. Oh, he ain't intimate like that.
You know how common Kevin Richardson probably is, though?
I don't be out here talking about Tiz the partner. Partners.
I still be saying the pet one with all this kind of
place. Well, you got two middle names. See, it ain't three, though. It's them three name, Nick. Gotta watch them. Winston Jeffrey Howell, Thurston Langston Thomas.
Oh yeah, that's too much. All right.
Randy Watson Johnson.
Randy Watson.
All right, I'm going off the rails. I'm sorry. You know when it get late night, man. If it's past 11, and it is, so it's going off the rails, folks. It's going off the rails.
So I'm gonna close up. So Facebook got an outage on Monday. Y'all were freaking out while I was at work. Because that was like one of my first calls, which included Instagram and everything. But I just want people to know, man, this happens every year. Y'all just don't notice. There's an outage every year. They do it. But they said there's a documentary out talking about what actually the fuckery that Facebook does to get ad dollars, you know, pushing out things that they know that people will get angry about or whatever to keep them hooked and keep them on Facebook so they can keep looking on it. That's why all of a sudden they had news. But they say because that was the Sunday before the outage, all of a sudden there was an outage the next day. But everybody likes conspiracy theories, so I'll leave it at that, pretty much. Boosie Badass got kicked off the Legends of the Streets.
He said it was a setup.
They say it was a setup.
He said it was a setup.
Of course, he's going to say it's a setup. What I heard was he was trying to go up there at somebody else's time or whatever, and he thought it was his time. He went up there anyway. They tried to pull him off. That started a fight. And then when you have a tour with all those gangster niggas that's up there.
Oh, some gangster shit gonna roll down.
Yeah, and you got ad dollars and promoter dollars into it. Any slight, and you know, companies going into it, worried about safety, especially in the COVID area or whatever. Any slight incident is gonna get you kicked off.
That's real.
So I just leave it at that. Now. The biggest fuckery of the evening. Let me just start this off with. So I saw that Mike Tyson and Freddie Gibbs had an interview. And it was Mike Tyson. If y'all don't know, Mike Tyson has his podcast, Hot Box Mike Tyson. First, Freddie Gibbs is hilarious or whatever. You know, like if he was out. If he had his stint, first of all, like...
didn't he tell on himself he's still free?
Yeah, he told on himself and didn't give a fuck about it.
I thought they would have got him for when he was out here killing crap.
Yeah, that dude bit there. And you want to know what the funny
thing
is?
They let people get away with anything these days. Boy, I tell you, just kill a crackhead and admit to it on a podcast. And the biggest podcast in the world.
He did it again. He did it on Instagram and he did it again on Mike Tyson. He talked about the crackhead again. Yo, if y'all watch...
His publicist needed to stop telling that story.
Watch Freddie Gibbs. Yo, that whole interview was hilarious, man. That joint was hilarious. They were just talking about trippy stuff. So what got into the... Let me get right into the fuckery part. Freddie Gibbs is one of the most hilarious rappers or whatever. But Mike Tyson and Freddie were talking about how crazy it was back in the day. And then he was talking about what particular type of white girls that was out there. Then Freddie said, man, you know, Dr. Umar going to get us for talking about the white girl. Whatever. And Mike Tyson is like, who's Dr. Umar? I don't know who he is. He's somebody... Well, what is he?
You know, who is he to say that?
Whatever. Yo,
Tyson was heated about that shit.
What's that? Yeah, like he was like, well, you know, Dr. Umar, what's wrong with him? What's his thing? It was like, well, you know, he's for, you know, black people. He got some good ideas, stuff like that or whatever. He got this thing with school. I think he even said something about the school, but I don't know nothing about that. But I really be thinking that shit is funny myself. But that's why I watch him. That's what Freddie said.
The funny part be, Umar, they talking about celebrities. But every time a celebrity is asked about him, they never know who the fuck he is.
But
they be like,
and then Mike basically says somebody with hate in their heart can't do any good, pretty much. Because he said if he has that much hate for white folk or whatever, then why is he doing the school, basically? Or what is he, you know, pretty much.
I agree with that.
But then Umar found out about it. You know, Umar can't just let shit slide. He can't just let shit slide.
And I haven't really seen shit since that nigga was doing the electric slide for the FDMG block party.
He gonna be like Boohoo Banger and he gonna say, I need y'all to slide. Cause you know what he did? You know what he did? He goes up there. First of all, he talking about, he was actually kind of respectful or whatever, but he said, hey, y'all doing some heavy coonery about my name or whatever. And he challenged Mike Tyson to 5 rounds. He said he could probably stay up 5 rounds. He said he wants to get...
But hold on, what?
He challenged.
I knew about Mike. The boxing match. I saw little clips, but I didn't see that he was talking about he can stay up for 5. Man, no wobbly-ass legs. He could barely stay up with no round.
It gets worse, man. It gets worse.
Walking up the aisle with them two wives, with them holding his ass up, because his ass was struggling.
When you watch him, man, you can see his delusion.
Fred Sanford Waddle.
Well, is that what it called? Delusion of grandeur? Or is that
delusion of grandeur?
Yeah. He says this like he can actually, I don't, Look, I don't know the rate of his celebrity. Maybe he know more. I'm pretty sure he know more people. But he just straight up said, if I can't get Philly's own Bernard Hopkins, I say Floyd Mayweather to train me for 5 rounds. And I think to myself, fuck are you to convince Floyd Money Mayweather? like he like...
I would say Floyd Mayweather is somebody like, that's sitting there like, who the fuck is he? But he don't even know Umar to say who the fuck is he. Like, your name ain't going across your desk in the morning. Floyd ain't think. He's probably never heard of you. Umar, forget. He big in the conscious circle. He not big worldwide where everybody know him like that.
Delusion. Delusion of grandeur. Man, he said he has a height advantage. I say to you, Umar Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mike Tyson to knock niggas out that was like 6'5", 6'.
Yeah, he's pretty, yeah.
He didn't drop some big niggas.
A majority, I've seen a majority
them,
of the time.
Them blows people hit taller different. Than him. Even right now, especially if you ain't no boxer, like you ain't conditioned to getting hit like that. Like people forget, boxers go through sparring and shit to condition their muscles and their body to getting hit. You ain't gonna go in there against a professional boxer that been doing this since he was a child, a world champion, thought of as one of the greatest and strongest knockout artists of all time, and think you gonna last no 5 rounds with him, Umar. With them fake ass FDMG gloves, he gonna beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, you gonna need the dick.
Tell me some who wants some of Big Papa. He gonna take all of Big Papa and knock his ass back to Philly. You gonna need more to know about the lot shake to fuck with Mike Tyson.
That's a good decision.
You need to get you.
Leave Tyson alone.
Umar, you need to get a Ouija Tyson boy.
Tyson ain't said it. He ain't Sarnetta. He ain't none of them little dudes you be debating again. Tyson will beat the shit out of you and then kiss you on the top of your head.
Mm-hmm. And laugh with the little high-pitched laugh.
You don't fuck with Pete Tyson. So he not only end your school, he might end your life. Because again, I saw how you was walking at that block party, champ. Umar, this is all bullshit aside, all jokes aside. Something is going on with your health, physical, as far as like your joints or something. I don't know whether it's a bursitis, arthritis type thing. I don't know whether it's like an injury that ain't healed right, but I saw the way you was walking. That gait is not a healthy gait. Something is going on. Get help. Stop being out here challenging people that will beat the fucking dog shit out you. And where the HVAC?
Get
the school open.
Get a Ouija board and conjure up the soul of Kimbo Slice. You're going to need it. That's what you need.
You ain't selling enough hot dogs and hamburgers out there at the block party. We ain't got no HVAC yet.
Mm-hmm.
You got enough for a wedding to two women. That's fake as hell. But you ain't got enough yet to actually put some on the keeping that flood out the floor. Oh, the water was back, y'all. Lake, she forgot
we back,
to say.
Y'all. We back.
Oh, yeah.
He said the nosebleed tickets will start off at $250. He wants Swiss Beats to promote. He's going to come out in a Joe Frazier t-shirt. Or he might come out in Muhammad Ali t-shirt. It don't matter what t-shirt he has. At the end of the night, he's going to probably be using that t-shirt to wipe up blood. But he says he openly admits that he can't beat him and he's not going to disrespect his legacy. But he can survive 5 rounds and get some shots.
If he had said survive maybe one round, I'd have given him. But you ain't coming in there. I don't care if you train for 6 months. Coming in there, never been done against a pro, taking Mike Tyson shots, because he going to probably just do a body shot. You ain't taking them. You ain't going to be fast enough to dodge shit. You're going to be a sitting duck. And Mike Tyson don't do exhibition. Everything he do in that ring is, I'm trying to knock you the fuck out.
Everything he
does. Roy Jones was skilled enough to know how to get away from that. You ain't Roy Jones, Umar. Stop everything this dumb shit. Man. Every time I look, he's doing some dumb shit.
It's a minor trauma, I feel like.
He's stupid, man. He's a fucking dummy. Yo.
Like, even if Mike Tyson pulled back on his punches, it's still going to hurt. It
Mike Tyson will knock your ass straight through that mustard yellow wall at your school. Unless you're going in there with that softball helmet that you thought was a football helmet with your dumb ass, Umar. Don't leave Mike Tyson. Come on. Yeah, next story. Right. You don't fuck Mike Tyson.
Oh, that was it. That was the top of the fuckery. Yeah, you don't fuck with Mike Tyson. You can't get no more higher and fucker than that.
Umar always leave me with a bad taste in my mouth. No, it's bullshit. But I tell you what ain't no bullshit. And that's the positive black news. And I got some stories for y'all this day. Had already covered one of them I was going to cover with Bubba Watson. But, I mean, Bubba, yeah. But I do got some other stories. And the positive black news. The cool shit that black people are doing, experiencing, receiving, and creating out here in the world this week. So our first story comes to us from NBC.com. MacArthur names 11 black genius grant winners. There's never been a moment in history where black excellence did not prevail, said artist Jordan Castillo, one of 11 black people among this year's 25 recipients. Ibram X. Kendi has dedicated much of his life to fighting racism and often thinking for the left him constantly attacked the mean. His work, though, has received affirmation in a way he never paid and was honored as a MacArthur Fellow, Grant, also known as, and Kendall Kendi, who's 39, he was among 11 black people out of the 25 people in this year's, and it was among the highest number of after 2020's 12 blacks who won, according to the MacArthur Foundation. So that means that there are many more black people who are doing excellent work, who are actually being recognized and supported now. And one of the oldest anti-racist black ideas is the notion that black people are intellectually inferior. So this class, continuing the anti-racist tradition of spelling that racist myth, extremely, incredibly important, director at Boston. So our people are out here getting noticed, taking, kicking ass, taking names, and winning money. So shout out to those 11 black just grant winners from this year, the 12 from last year, and maybe they continue to shine bright and show black excellence. Indeed, man. I love it when we crush it in something other than the shit that they normally think of about, like sports or something like Well, nope, we're actually just like that.
We built civilization for Pete's sake.
Our next story is coming to us from news1.com in New York City. New York City is announcing plans for education reform. Black history is taught in America. They are introducing new curriculum that basically aimed at teaching students the role of race and power relations and the impact of systemic institutional race. As conservatives across the right-wing America continue their white fragility war on race theory, a thing they use as an umbrella to be black because they don't know what the decade-old academic study actually is, New York City is taking the opposite and introducing a new curriculum aimed at teaching the role of race and power relations and impact. According to the New York Post, City Schools Chancellor Misha Ross Porter, new black studies Wednesday at the Schomburgs in Black Culture in Manhattan. If we're serious about addressing what our students learn every day, legislative nonprofit organization, and not just black children, but all children. Our children have to see themselves every single day, and they have to see their value and worth in so many other messages that say different. So salute to this queen, salute to New York for pushing for creative ways to get around this pushback from critical race theory and still being able to teach the truth about what racism is. It's important that we continue to have these racial dynamics conversations because that's the only way we actually grow and understand each other and get better. So shout out to you. And our next comes to us from abcnews.gov, and this is California's back, y'all. They doing more cool shit for black folks. They are killing it again. California knows how to take care of California signs the Momnibus support black moms and pay for doulas and ABC. Black women face higher rates of pregnancy. So California Governor Gavin Newsom signed the Momnibus into law on Monday to address racial, maternal, and in-health, a victory especially of color. The law will create a fund to grow and diversify the midwifery workforce, extend California's Medicaid coverage for doulas who are trained professional mothers through pregnancy, and it extends Medicaid eligibility from postpartum to 2 to 12 months. Shout out to California Governor. Shout out to California for yet again finding itself on the positive black news for doing just. Shout out to the mothers that's going to help. And shout out to the doulas and midwives who are now going to be able to actually increase their earning potential because now they're going through insurance. So shout out to whole act, shout out to California, and shout out to the black people. And our last, as the sports fanatic of this group, the partner that most loves, gave me great, great pride. 39-year-old becomes the first black head football coach, University of Southern California, from black. Dante Williams, who's only 39, has made history as the first black head coach at the University of Southern California in over 140. I feel like this is the opportunity I was born, said in the ball, and first black to be the first African-American is a lot to me. I mean, it's a lot of people that have come before me and that have paved the way for this opportunity. For more than 12 years, working as a coach for other college football programs, Oregon, Arizona. So William started at only 27, and in 12 years, most head coaches are well into their 50s when they get their first job. I'm at least late 40s. So young, that definitely shows the dedication and hard work. Salute to him, and I hope he gets a job for you. Shout out USC Move, and shout out to Dante earning it. Salute to you, Coach. And I'm not a Trojans fan, but in honor of you on today, I'll say go Trojans. And that is the positive Black news. You can hope it inspired, hope it gave you. Hopefully it made you think. And another positive Black, I thought it was getting starts. So we're going to talk about it. Dave Chappelle
is a genius.
What did you guys think of it? Yeah, let's just start there. What are just your overall thoughts? Like, what are you?
That shit was funny, nigga.
I liked it.
Man,
he like started it. Off. This is the funny thing about Chappelle. He can make whack jokes sound funny. Like, because when he threw me off when he was like, I'm going to make me a movie called Space Juice.
See, I got it.
So, like, I got it. But I was like, dog, you knew where this
nobody else would have pulled that off, though.
Yeah, no one else would have pulled that off. He threw that out there. He knew it was a bad joke. He just threw it out there because he's Chappelle. I can do it. I won't.
That's when you know you're a master of your craft, when you start doing tricks and you start just, you know, oh, fuck it. Do what I want to do up here. That's an MC. If Chappelle was a rapper, he would be a master MC.
I think Chappelle, he definitely knows about MCing, so.
Bruh, he's the only stand-up comedian I've seen, personally, that can stand in one spot. Like, he don't walk back and forth. He's in one spot, foot up on the speaker.
Smoking one cigarette, maybe.
And will have you riveted. Like, I was literally, like, the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one time that I, like, look away, like it was the point, like me and the wife was watching, and usually like we'll watch comedy specials and we be, you know, it'll make you laugh and then you talk about maybe the joke or you, we was just both just quiet laughing, but you didn't want to miss the next piece because you didn't know how. With Chappelle, he's unique in taking a piece of one joke and tying it into something like seven jokes later and you don't even
get it.
Shit. So you got to stick with him.
Yeah.
So,
he's an MC when it comes to this comedian stuff. Like, he's really an MC when it comes to this comedian stuff. I mean, he can, like, it's just like you say, like, you know how you listen to a rhyme or whatever, and you've listened to it a million times before, and this 15th time you listen to it, you catch something else that you ain't catch before, and it made something else make sense. That's Chappelle right there. Like, you're just not going to expect what's coming up. And here's the question. Is Chappelle cancel proof?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Because last night, when I watched it, he pissed off the LGBTQ community, which is one of the largest communities that will, they may have their inner bickering like all group, but they will ride for each other. Like, they don't play when they feel it. And the fact that he ain't got canceled yet, and this is his second straight special where he's directly targeting the hypocrisies, the fallacies, and their logic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he wasn't. So, yes, I think he is canceled. And I think he's also proof of, well, we'll get into, I want to just get into the themes he presented, but let's just start there with, he's so genius in the way he talks about the shit that everybody want to say, but he says it in a way that still really, when you get to the meat and potatoes, what he's saying is, I'm offending. He's literally just saying, like, so y'all do that? How do you, like, why?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? Have y'all ever thought about how crazy some of this stuff is? And he never focuses on their actual sexuality.
Yeah.
He focuses on the behaviors and actions that they display in public.
The non-accountability.
There you go. And I think that's the genius part, because you can have any dialogue as long as you're not attacking person. You're attacking the structure. So, like, you can attack my ideas, like the things that I spot out, the things that I stand on, but you can't attack. And like them people's sexuality, they feel like that's them. And the fact that he doesn't attack, like, I haven't heard him say anything that would make me think that he hates. I do think that he thinks that they're funny. And that's okay, because you're a comedian. You're supposed to think people funny. He thinks Black people funny. He thinks white people funny. He thinks Asians, he thinks handicapped people funny. He thinks everybody funny. And I love how I think when you're equal opportunist, I think even that you can, as long as you treat everybody the same, you don't like show favorites, I think you can get away with finding the humor in everything. I also think he wins because he can say that same shit. And if the joke won't funny, he would get killed for real.
No one would laugh.
But I think it's so hilarious. It's like it's...
I will say with him, he's just like, it basically what he just said, man, you can kill... This it's crazy because he's defending the baby, but at the same time, he's not defending the baby. Like, he's setting the baby up to be accountable for something or whatever.
The funny part about it is, though, that'd be the funny shit. The shock value shit or the name that he puts in there don't even be what the joke was about. That the baby joke won't even about the baby. It was about the fact that Black lives and a black people being offended or Black people being killed is less offensive to the world than him making a comment about the LGBTQ community.
Exactly.
He was saying, like, why is their movement more valuable than this one? Equal, okay, cool. But why does it have to, how do you get to place yours above that? Why is it that society had less outrage for somebody getting murdered than they did for the baby saying word?
Because
like that's the type, that's what he was attacking in the joke. So like the funny part is dumb people need to stop commenting and getting outraged, because you gotta at least understand the joke to if you're gonna critique. And I rarely hear those people critiquing.
They're just proving him right. Because half the people, I was saying all kinds of stuff like the LGBT, I was seeing all kinds of think pieces and stuff like that. And when I read it, I was like, you did not look at this at all. You just heard what somebody else saw.
You heard the soundbite or heard somebody else's talking point and went with
it. I'm going to tell you what happened. Did y'all see those two white ladies, the two big round head white ladies right there in the middle?
Yo! Okay. See, I knew it was
No, you ain't the only one. They were there mad as heck. Probably
didn't crack a smile.
They would have they probably were just spies and they couldn't wait and they ain't listen to nothing, not a dang thing. But you know what? You know what's the jokes on them? Because they paid tickets to see him so they get told joke about.
That's right.
And
you had to sit through it and eat that.
And Dave Chappelle has the last laugh. Because nobody, either way, they still can't cancel him. Cause this is last one. He went out with a bang.
Well, cancel me then. I'm going to my farm in Ohio and we're going to cheat.
Yeah, cancel. What do you mean? I don't even want to be
here. He going back to Ohio to hang with the dirty food white woman.
Mm-hmm. It's strippies.
Man, when that nigga said that shit, the first thing I thought of was that video face that
me
put
too.
On the, when that girl foot was black, like me, car me black.
Too. On the live show. Man.
I
laughed. Oh my God, I laughed so hard.
But I'm gonna tell y'all the joke of the night for me. Yeah, what was y'all joke of the night? For me, it was Clifford the Big Giant.
That was the sneak one on the low. Man, Clifford. It's just I can't say it's a joke of the night, man, because
the carpet floor.
That was it.
Daphne.
That hit different ways. That's the big thing about
that
this.
Was so smart.
Because this, you didn't just laugh. You went through a whole gambit of emotions. He made you sad, mad, enraged.
Made you think, all of that.
And at the end of the day, made you laugh about it. And I actually saw the tweet that Daphne actually wrote. They posted it up online. They actually showed the tweet that Daphne actually wrote. I'm gonna see if I can find it. But it's exactly what he said. So that just backs him up. And I like, anytime they have these long think pieces about it, and I read some of them, pretty much. It sounds like they did not listen to nothing at all. And it just proved him right the whole time. Like,
pretty much.
They're proving him the fuck right. They're not even listening to nothing. That's what happens when you have people that don't take accountability for it. They'll find something else and blow that up so everybody will ignore the accountability. He wasn't even like dissing the LGBT community. And he says it out loud, who's he's dissing his whole career is white people. It is the white people that like to pick up minority like it's a trend so they can have an excuse to
be specific. It's not all white people.
Specific type that pick up and try to be a part of minority trends or whatever. So they can feel like they have a right.
The people who made the black TikToker strike, that type,
those who write on the coattails, because
them white niggas.
Mm-hmm. Because it's just like you said. As soon as stuff got real and he got it, and a dude got it in his face or whatever, whatnot, what happened? He turned tail, called the police, and knowing what police would do to a black man, that's my thing. Like, you know what they do. Or whatever. And you can act like and fake even the people that deny what the police do know what they do. That's why they're quick to defend them, because they know if I need a nigga killed, I can always call the police. So that shit was awesome. He's a genius. Like, we got to protect Dave Chappelle.
And he gave me a topic. I don't know what's going to be next week special for us to delve in. Shout out to Chappelle. If you have not seen the Rio's newest Magnum, please go check it out. It's called The Closer. And also check out the trailer with him and Morgan Freeman. It was just a great trailer. It was amazing. But Chappelle outdid himself again. So salute to him. And I honestly think we done outdid ourselves again, fellas, on another episode of The Partner. Hey. Yeah, man. Episode 46 is coming to a close here, guys. We are about to mosey on to our beds and get some Z's. But for sure, I definitely want to make sure we give y'all all the info. Let's get the housekeeping out the way. If you want to support Get In Face a burger or something, so he ain't got to eat the mic no more. Or if you just want to support financially, then holler at us on $PartnerTiers1, PartnerTiers1 on Cash App. Or you can support us now on Anchor. If you're listening to this on Anchor, feel free to go ahead and support us on there. It's $4.99. You support and donate to us continuing to be able to do it. It's basically like a dollar and some change an episode, $1.25 an episode. So, you know, help us to continue to go on. We be working to get this done every week, man, but we here. And if you want to actually sign up for a membership and get some exclusive perks, go ahead and check us out on buymeacoffee.com or patreon.com / the partners on both platforms. For as little as $5, you can become a member and get exclusive perks to unedited episodes, behind the stage access to us through our Discord, members only events, the ability to choose our topics yourselves, exclusive panel access where you can join us for pods or for the panel. Like, you get a bunch of cool stuff. You get merch. You get promo codes for rtradeclothing.com. You get a whole gamut of free shit. So go ahead and sign up now for a little less $5 on patreon.com, buymeacoffee.com, partner, and that. Now, if you don't want to spend your money just willy-nilly, you don't want to just give to us, no problem. You can still donate and give us money, but you can also get some back. And if you want some back, for you want a hat, you want a face, you want a hoodie, you want some clothes, socks, you want some pants, you want some shirts, you want any type of pair, you want phone, you want your partner's merch or your R-Trick. Talk to them about it, face.
Well, like my brother said, you can go to rtradeclothing.com. Once again, that's rtradeclothing.com. ArtreClothing.com. Your official site for all partners merchandise and once again all Artre clothing merchandise. It's a cornucopia of different products there. You have accessories such as face masks and hats. We have phone cases, iPhones and Samsungs. We have canvas bags. We have hoodies. We have short sleeve shirts, long sleeve shirts, joggers as well. Come check us out. Once again, cornucopia of different products. Come check us out, man. rtradeclothing.com.
Indeed, man. rtradeclothing.com. And say you just wanted to get in touch with us. You want to have a weekly conversation with us. Continue the conversation from this podcast with us outside of the podcast. You want to actually get responded to. You want to join a dialogue. Or you want to just see the funny thoughts and opinions posted. How can they get in touch with us?
At THEPODNAS. That is the Twitter, the TikTok, Facebook, the Instagram. Also on Also on Facebook, we have the Tiz Face Pat, all the partners. You can message us there. If you just want to comment, get in touch with us or whatever. Or if you have any videos you want us to like react to for you didn't ask us, but you could send us there. But either way, it was our methods of communication at THEPODNAS.
Indeed.
We have a cornucopia. I'm sorry, he had me weak because
we love that word. We love that word.
I love the words cornucopia and burgundy.
Go back and check out our episode.
The book is a cornucopia.
And something else you guys may enjoy for speaking of social media, as Pat so eloquent gave out the information, our Twitter follow coming this Sunday, all of these together, our live show, You Didn't Ask Us But, will be debuting on there as well. So now not only can you watch it on YouTube and Facebook, our Twitter followers, you will be able to catch the show live on Twitter as well. Yeah, man, we're trying it out this Sunday, so salute. And check us out, man. For our live shows, DM us, send us all kinds of cool you want us to react to, give our thoughts and opinions on, give us topics. We do respond to fans. We do respond to you follow. We do actually have the conversation, which when you're a member of the Pod Squad, it's like your family. So come on, join the family, become a member of the Pod Squad, whatever platform you do, go ahead and subscribe so that you can catch our episodes every week and not miss it out. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button for us. It helps us out tremendously in the algorithm. Hit that subscribe button if you're new. And then hit the bell. Because once you subscribe, sometimes YouTube will kick us out of your algorithm and try to hide us from you. And we don't want that to happen. So make sure you hit the bell so you get notified every time we go live or post any content. We are pretty consistent and pretty active overall. This has been an off couple of weeks. Overall, we usually drop videos either every day or every other day. Constantly putting out shorts. So come check us out over here, man. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead, stick with us, subscribe, and become a member of the Pod Squad. And then after you listen to the podcast and giving us your thoughts in the comments, come join us on our live show. You didn't ask us, but on Sundays at 9:45 p.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and now Twitter, and join us in the chat or hop up on the panel with us and kick it and get your thoughts. But that is our show for this week. If you can't remember nothing I just said, if you already forgot about what Faith said, what Pat said, the one in one end, not the other, and you still trying to figure it out, let me make it the partner die. One-stop shop. Everything that we just said is on there. You click it. All you got to do is go to thepartners.com, click on whatever part of the site that you, whether it be our social media, whether it be the rtradeclothing.com, part, whether it be our live show that you can get access to straight through to our website, thepartners.com. Until next week, this partner.com has been your boy Tiz, and I've been along with
the better one here, y'all. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going through it today. I'm still tripping over Faith saying cornucopia, but it's the other cornucopia third, the pattern here. Dream. And I am along with also Dramatic Pause.
What's happening, man? It's Mr. Burgundy here. Face saying thank you. You could have been anywhere else, but you were here with us. We love you. Come again.
Indeed, man. See y'all next week for episode 47. Check us out on Sunday. And please, please, please check the link below. Vote, vote, vote. Final four. We need to figure out who our finalists are going to be. So vote for who won. As always, man, love y'all. Thank y'all for rocking with us. Please join the comments. See y'all next week.
Cornucopia.